are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
That should be, yeah. The first resort shouldn't be immediately back to like 50.
Look at the bags under my eyes.
No, you look really good. YouTube watchers, doesn't she look great?
I look good from this angle.
And you inspired me to get my Botox touched up. I want the arch like you.
Are you getting it? Did you already get it? You got it.
No, I haven't gotten it. Thank you, though.
I need to go get it. I need to go get more. Cause look.
No, it looks great. Yours looks great.
Like so crazy. I look so like I'm just dying. I think I might be dead. I might actually just dead.
That's always a fun level of dissociation where you're like, I think I am dead. Have you ever?
I mean, my boss.
Has that ever happened to you? Am I right, ladies?
I don't know. We got to do this one before I burst into tears.
Okay. Well, let's, hey, okay. Well, this is like the reassuring message. I might even make a TikTok about this. And this, you know, like, I know it's been a rough week for Michelle, for me, for a lot of our listeners for so many reasons. But okay. You know how people are like, I've always found this to be reassuring. You know how people are always like, if Britney can make it through 2007, you can make it through anything. It's like a real triumph
but
of the human spirit.
But maybe do you think that maybe we shouldn't have allowed? I mean, like, did she really make it?
I think she's doing, you know, I think she's doing like, okay. She's doing better.
Now that we're in, I mean, first of all, like, we actually found out, like, pretty horrendous facts about, like, her making it through 2009 or whatever, 2007. And it was her family pumping her full of lithium and taking away, like, her ability to have children and keeping her in a conservatorship for 16 years. And what I'm saying is I would love that level of somebody taking care of me. Like, if only would somebody would love me enough to put me on lithium, make me make millions of dollars.
Put an IUD inside of you.
Yes, put an IUD in me and just
give you a Vegas residency to keep you busy.
I'm in. Dance, baby, dance. You're a star. Your daddy's a little star.
I mean, there is something very appealing about that. The idea of like a conservatorship.
Okay, by the way, this is
no
a
more
joke.
Decisions.
This is a joke. Okay, I don't want people to think that I actually agreed with anything that happened.
No,
to this
no,
woman.
But I'm. I am saying, like, I'm just speaking
just
to the
like right now.
I'm speaking
I
to the fantasy
that.
Of a conservatorship, where it's like it's really, you know, it's like that episode of Friends
fantasy.
where Rachel's like, from now on, Monica, you make all my decisions for
yes.
me. And I think that who among us have not, like, you know, that's part of such the modern dilemma is we have too many decisions. We're so paralyzed by all of our options, and
right.
just
and we
to
don't
take
even
away
have that many options as women in the state of Texas, a lot of them have been
no.
completely ripped Move away from
us. And in
right
a way,
now, I still feel like it's too much. It's too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, still too much.
You know what? I need Republicans to tell me what to make for dinner.
Yeah, everyone's
know.
Like, it's gonna be Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, but you know what? I'm tired of having to pick out an outfit.
Yeah, I want that she could. Like,
the
I love a
could.
Red hood.
Yeah, no, like, because, like, the sun is so damaging.
Yeah.
It's very
who,
flowy.
Who am I of? I want to be of someone.
Of Smith. Everyone
of
Smith.
Smith.
I want to be, like, yeah. of Goldstein.
Yeah. Well, you're Jewish, so. Good pairing.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, it's been a rough road for our and mine brains.
Yes, our mind. But I think the reassuring thing, and this is actually, I'm going to share something personal. So we have a friend, not a listener, not a student, unfortunately.
We have a friend.
But I have one other friend. And
who
she
is she?
Was, she, we'll go with she, was going through a really bad breakup, a really bad relationship, and they'd lost their housing situation and they ended up relapsing. But you know what made them, you know what made them feel better? Is this was like 3 months ago, I showed them season 10 of Real Housewives of Orange County. And really, they still say to this day, she says it was so comforting to see how much worse off Vicky was and that she still lived to tell the tale. And I think that's something we just all need to keep in mind. I mean, look at Vicky then. Her mom died. Boyfriend has cancer.
You
She's
know what?
Doubling down.
This is actually better for me. Like, if Vicky Gunvalson can survive season 10 of OC,
you can make it through
seasonal depression.
Exactly. Exactly. It's and we
I
just all need to remember that.
I don't want the listeners to worry about me. I don't need like anyone to do like a wellness check on me. This you can tell Lauren can attest to This happens to me every November. So.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm messaging her every day. Are you going to the bad place? Get out of the hole.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the bad place, which is me only watching Jamil Jamil's scenes from The Good Place.
That's
actually not happening. That would be so funny. That's been fun. No, I'm just reading all of the stories about Jamil Jamil and the bees.
Yeah. I mean, those, you know, we love a munchie on this podcast. We love a classic Munchausen tale. And I love that she represents that for celebrities.
Okay. But she's not even, but like the bees stuff is crazy though, right?
The bees stuff is still fruit of the exaggeration tree.
Fruit of the loon.
Yeah, and fruit of the womb that she claims had cancer, but really she just had cervical dysplasia and pre-cancer, which I did. I don't think I have cancer.
No, I think she has EDS. She has EDS.
She has EDS, yeah.
Which Lauren and I also have EDS.
Yeah, we still, I mean, on the Bayton scale, I would be a 9, but I'm just not even going to go there until they have genetic testing.
Until they have genetic testing, which they do.
Not for hypermobile.
Not for us. Not for hypochondriacs. Oh, hypermobile. Yes.
Hypermobile hypochondriacs. Actually, that would be a Reddit sub I would love to make.
I think we're in that one. We're in a different one.
Well, we can't.
We're in the DIY subreddits. How to fix your home.
And speaking of positive subreddit news, focusing on the good, focusing on optimism, the Baldwin show, Alec is promising it's very dark.
And he promised he really didn't enjoy making it and was kind of an asshole.
I mean, if he is like realizing he's an asshole, because he's like profoundly not self-aware. He always thinks he's the good guy when he like yells slurs at paparazzi shoots women.
And talks to his daughter and leaves horrible voicemails and calls her a pig.
Like, he still thinks he's the, sympathetic victim. One in those situations. So he must be terrible. He must go full mask off in the show, I'm excited for.
What is true about Alec is that he is still the most popular of the Baldwin brothers.
He's always got that. Yeah.
He's got that. Of all the Baldwins, Alec has the edge.
Yeah, but honestly, he's moved down under Daniel for me. I gotta say.
Daniel is dark.
No, Steven's dark. Daniel is like self-aware, campy. Where's Billy is the one. No, Billy's my favorite. Sorry, I get Daniel and Billy confused. Billy is the one who was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And
he dated Cindy Crawford.
Yes, yeah. Billy is the top Baldwin in my book.
Top
but
gun.
We'll see. We'll see what the power rankings are like after the reality TV show comes out.
Girls, gays, and theys, please give us your power rankings. What we're going to do every week, our power ranking of the Baldwin brothers.
Of the Baldwins. So topical. So
people
important.
Like, where's now, Daniel this week?
Now more than ever.
More than ever, we need to be power ranking the Baldwin brothers. It is so vital to our survival as women.
As women, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't have much we can do now here. So this is really one of the few things as women we can do.
This is the only choice I want to make is constantly re-ranking the top Baldwin boys.
Top Baldwin boys. Actually, that's what we're naming our podcast. We're going to do a full rebrand, and it's going to be Baldwin Breakdowns.
Baldwin Breakdowns. We are pro-choice, and by pro-choice, I mean choosing which Baldwin you like the most every few hours of the day.
And if you're wondering if it's always Steven, it is because he is the most militant of them in terms of Christianity.
Oh, yeah. In terms of, actual power rankings, who has the most power,
in the White House right now? Steven.
He's probably given money to the Heritage Foundation. I feel pretty confident about that.
And it was definitely Justin Bieber's money because that's his son-in-law.
Right.
Steven is not his own money.
Yeah.
Wow, Baldwin.
Let's get into some more Bravo news.
The radio.
So, are you watching Salt Lake City? Are you guys watching Salt Lake City, students? Michelle, you're not?
I'm finally caught up.
You're caught up.
And by
now.
Caught
yeah.
up means I was already caught up. No, I am. I only had to watch one episode. I was an episode behind. I was texting you the whole time because it was fun because Lauren was watching OC, but I was watching Salt Lake.
And then
so we were texting about different things. And then we switched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we communicate.
Yeah. I think that the real hot topic in Salt Lake City right now, the community is divided over Bronwyn. I think people are mostly pro Bronwyn, but like us, the past two episodes, a attempted sense of humor has emerged that is hard to get on board with.
Yeah, I'm a little bored of the brawn. I mean, it's like, okay, first of all, her husband hates her.
I love that. Okay, I always love that.
He makes her, this man has nothing but money, and he makes her go eat in a pod outside.
It's so billionaire.
I guess it was a restaurant.
Behavior.
Yeah. And then he just is like, he looks like he wants to just die. Like, he's just like, I don't want to be here talking about this drama with people I don't understand.
And you can tell he made, like, so he pays for their, you know, trip, like a Bravo and like a Bravo cast trip. He completely funds to Palm Springs.
He has real money because of what he does in New York.
But you can tell that he does not like forbid her from doing drama and then like punishes the people for doing drama at the end. Like, the rules are no drama.
No drama for your mama. But that's not the real crime here with Bronwyn.
No. I like all of that. All of that works in her favor for
me. There's nothing better for a housewife, I feel like, unless, like, you know, your husband doesn't like you. That's like a great, you know, that's a great thing for a housewife. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But what is a problem is that the costumes, and I'm not going to talk about the hot dog costume.
No, I like that. I like her outfits.
High couture. I think was it Moschino or something we can't afford. But she wears, like, I guess, like those inflatable costumes to pick her husband up from the airport, which is wild.
Wild.
She's just standing at baggage claim dressed like a shark.
Like, why is she coming inside?
Bothering other people.
Where, like, does her driver just do laps while she waits for her husband to come out?
And she can't I know that, like, logistically, she can't be in the car in these, like, inflatable costumes. I mean, she's getting out of the car. She's probably getting assistance to get in the costume, inflate herself, find her way to baggage claim.
All while, like, the TSA, like, people who do traffic are, like, furious. Are, like, get out of the, like, you know, her, like, you know, driver's white SUV with hazards.
You can never go through security wearing that, so.
No.
You know, really questionable behavior. I also, listen, I love a tacky housewife, but at some point we have to really say, like, that's enough. Broadway.
It's more the comedy. You know, like, I kind of love how ugly, I actually really love how ugly her house is.
Her house is really scary ugly to me. It's such in a state of chaos. And for me, that's not a good thing right now.
I love it. It reminds me of Tina Fey shows. It reminds me of her house is exactly like the trophy wife and Kimmy Schmidt. And, like, she really acts like her too, where it's like, oh, this kind of like old 80s, like, you know, nouveau rich house. Like,
but there's
with, like,
just boxes.
And then there's,
like,
just huge boxes everywhere. Just, like, horrible, ugly art everywhere. I love it.
The door, her front door, Lauren, is, like, 7 stories high.
Yeah.
It was so disturbing.
It's like Beetlejuice. Like, she lives in the Beetlejuice.
That are, like Pee Wee Herman's fun house.
Yes. I love that.
Are we having fun yet? That wasn't his catchphrase.
That was Adam Scott and Party Down. Did you ever watch that? Not gonna divert. We're gonna stay on Salt Lake City. Feel like, okay, the other thing that's divisive is, I feel like, the downfall of Heather. And I've had some anti-Heather sentiments for a long time, mostly because of how hard she went ride or die for Jen, and it, like, protected and insulated Jen.
The black eye thing, we let that
the shenanigans
too long. You know, she really did something for us by having the Fed show up at Beauty Lab and Laser. And then since then, we've just seen a decline in Heather. Also, sidebar, does she look so much like Lindsay Hubbard now?
Yes, I've always said this. I've said this since she started Ozempic. But some fans that we're just...
They
look so much alike.
I keep thinking it's Lindsay.
But some fans say...
It's crazy.
And, like, really, my final straw, I was, like, still rooting for Heather because, like everyone, I still liked her first season a lot. We were all rooting for her. Even on Ultimate Girls Trip, when she was, like, flopping, I was rooting for her. But then when she really pushed for Monica to leave, I was like, no. You're producing. You're overproducing. You're too controlling. And then now, I think I don't like that I was right, that her true colors are showing. And really, she wanted Monica out because she wants any newbies to be, like, you know,
sucking her dick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And baby girl, you don't have a dick to suck.
Mm-mm.
You're not that girl.
But some fans are still pro Heather, and they think that people are just mad at her because she got skinny.
No, that's not it.
It's been building.
Girl, the filler, it's a no.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a flop. It's a chop. It's a stab.
We're getting into Leona Helmsley territory, is my fear with Heather's face. It's hard, though, with like when you got your own supply, you know, like it's so addictive.
She's getting high on her own supply. That's never good.
Yeah, never good. I hope, though, I hope she's still very smart and
she still is.
You know, she didn't get dumber. She just got needier, but it's like skinnier. And it's like, honestly, this was the kiss of death for Jill. And he said he looked at her at that season three reunion with all those. He's like, look at you. Used to be a nice girl from Long Island. And look at you now with all those pieces in your hair. He said,
look at you now.
You used to be a nice girl from Salt Lake City. And look at you now. A good time girl with Lindsay Hubbard's face.
Yeah, you used to be a nice, bad Mormon.
Yeah. And what are you now? A nice
Lindsay Hubbard.
A nice Lindsay Hubbard. Kind of, yeah.
You know what? Somebody get the feds and take her away.
Mm. Potomac, things are improving. I know. Well,
I'm going to. I can now that OC is like, we're finally
wrapping up. Yeah. But. Yeah. But yeah, things are trending positive in Potomac. New York, I mean, dead in the water. Like, nobody's liking it.
I've never seen it, but
me neither. Last episode they aired during the election, and it was a series low in many ways, ratings, emotionally. What are they going to do?
I don't think they're going to stick with it. Luann was on Watch What Happens Live, and I haven't seen Andy that revitalized in a very long time.
Yeah, I mean,
she was drunk, and she sounded like she's been just gargling cigarettes for years.
They should just make her TikTok a TV show.
Well, she was talking about, you know, like hooking up with Hugh Grant, and
she's just Jimmy a comp machine
for some reason.
While she was hooking up with Hugh Grant, or at Watch
What Happens
Live?
Happened in Paris. Andy was like, "Okay, we should stop this now," because he was like,
"It's like lots of names being named."
Yeah, she's like, "You know about that?" And apparently, they're like wingmen for each other. Her and Andy, they go out, and I think he misses the old guard.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance of them coming back? Sans Ramona,
I think
Sonya's
so.
In a dark place. Dorinda's in a darker place.
I know, and I think maybe they need the show to bring them back.
I kind of agree. Sonya, I think it really provided her stability. Dorinda, too. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I mean, I know that what we saw of them, some might question if that's stability, but where they're at now.
I think it proves that it did stability. Help. It was structure for them. Yeah.
It was structured stability. And what's better than that?
Yeah, nothing. I long for some.
We
right
want
now.
To have a conservatorship. Somebody pump me full of lithium.
Beverly Hills. I think Kyle.
No,
like,
I'm not even talking about that with you.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Okay, we can talk about it, but I just like you know how I feel. You know.
I guess my thing was like Teddy got a divorce and Kyle came out and still no one gives a shit.
She did.
I think so, or like kind of like danced around it more, she like to a tabloid.
I know. I saw her quote where she's like, "It's been interesting talking with my girls about possibly changing my sexuality or something like so weird." And it was like, you know what? Sex with you must be so awful.
Yeah.
Whether you're a man or a woman, whoever is having sex with Kyle Richards, I am so sorry.
She just does the splits the whole time.
I am so sorry.
And then like does her ponytail around and you just try to find a way in there.
And then just starts to cry.
Yeah.
You know what? I just realized when I'm really depressed, I'm just Kyle Richards. I'm crying.
Don't say that about yourself.
I'm doing the splits. I'm waving my hair around and I'm stealing homes. For my family members.
No, you're better than her. You're better than her. Shades of Kim, maybe, but no.
Shades of Kim.
okay, so here's the thing with Beverly Hills, too. I think this is my prediction. They are long overdue for a ratings plummet, even though they've managed to hold on to, like, the people who tuned in to see Erica go down and it never happened.
Never did. We never even saw her have to give her earrings back.
No. And yeah, I think it's going to plateau. That's my prediction. Mm-hmm. I think it's finally going to plateau and they'll finally have to fucking clean the house. Goodbye, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle. The ghost of Ken Todd.
Ghost of Ken Todd. Yeah, make it all ghosts.
Make it all ghosts. And they're all just Ken Todd. And like, oh, juicy, juicy, apple juicy, whatever.
Oh, dog. Yeah. And all of their hanky and panky, all the hanky ghosts of their,
yeah.
Of their zoo.
Jiggy.
Speaking of the Vanderpumps, VPR looking like season 12 is not going to happen at this rate.
You hear what happened with Lawless, other podcast host, and I guess her assistant or something.
What happened? She died? Beheaded?
She was beheaded, and Bravo was still to Lala. Like, we're not giving you a spinoff. Listen, I guess it was like, you know, Lala's, like, still main source of income is the show.
Mm-hmm.
BPR.
Yeah.
It's not on. She's not getting paid for it. So, yeah. She has to let go of her other podcast host because she couldn't afford to pay her.
Damn. But, I mean, it's really on her a little bit. Because, like, she's got to be making money from the podcast, right? Like, she should have diversified her real estate investments like Sheena. I hate to blame them. I know that, you know, this is a real job, but. And also, Raquel proposed they would drop the suit against Sandoval if he'd turn on Bravo. And he said no. And her publicist is teasing that she's going to come back. Which actually, that's the only hope for the show. Unpopular opinion. I know you all hate her, but it's the only way.
It's the only way.
Or we really kind of get to see what's really going, the grimness going on with.
The grim, it's just so grim. Bravo's grim.
Grim, yeah. Like the, Sandoval the and Victoria, grim. That is.
They moved into like a rental home. I'm not sure.
It's dark.
I can't.
When they go live, that it's honestly going to be more of a TLC thing, I think. It's going to be more like addiction, you know?
Yeah, like Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Yes, that's the vibes with Tom and Victoria. It's like, it's some dark shit. And mm-hmm. with Joe, but I want her back too. I want VPR to take like a Mulholland Drive type turn.
Oh, with the masturbation scene with Naomi Watts or?
Yeah, specifically that or just like where it like starts, you know, spoilers if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, spoilers. If you haven't seen Mulholland Drive, Naomi Watts masturbates.
It starts like positive, like, oh, this Hollywood fantasy. And then you're like, oh, this is what's really happening is like this Hollywood nightmare. And I think that kind of would be a fitting in for the show.
If you want to watch that movie, it's kind of like the anti-La La Land.
Yeah, it really is.
Non-legend.
This is legit so insightful because like VPR has so many strange ties to La La Land. Like
when
they talk
about it directly and they're like, we're going to see La La Land.
And then Kyle Chan, who is like a VPR like cast member last season, did all the jewelry for the film. But really, it would be perfect if the last season is kind of like a dark hallucinogenic fantasia of drug abuse and dirty sex, and then
we're all just sitting in that symphony hall. But what does it all mean?
But what
David?
Does it all mean? And then you wake up and you're just masturbating.
You're
that
just
would be
masturbating,
a perfect ending.
And then you just lie to people that you understood exactly what you just saw.
Exactly. Yeah, I think
and
that
you're
really
like, this is real art, but you can't explain why.
Yeah, it's like I was scared. So.
Man, we're just no. It's just when we deviate from talking about reality TV at all, which we were talking about reality TV.
Yeah,
the references we make are so not relevant.
We
the
I feel like
wins Mulholland Drive.
I feel like we've
that's
really
good for us. Actually, it's not from the 20s.
Yeah, we've done a good job keeping it about the reality TV instead of us just talking about like Buster Keaton movies. Like, I think that we're doing good for us. It's relative.
Yeah, no, that is good. But let us know, folks.
Yeah.
If we need to bring back Buster Keaton talk, because if we do, we can talk about Jax Taylor because he's also in the news.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was sending rage texts to Britney while he was like in treatment.
The Valley's like, going to save us all. Productions
has
like
already saved me. I mean, I'm
slipping his phone in like a couple
needs,
of steroids.
Yeah, it's like who needs Jesus Christ? And you just have Jesse from the Valley. I would,
amen.
Let him baptize.
Yeah, he's my father, my son.
Yeah, I would do. I would go on a ayahuasca trip with him to save myself.
That's salvation to me.
That is salvation. And I'd go to Capri.
Capri is heaven, Mecca. Okay, OC, let's dive in. We're going to be breaking down the Real Housewives of Orange County finale, part one, season 18. Reunion finale. The ladies really delivered, I got to say. They always do. You know, these girls, they turn their pussies out. Costume-wise, not so much. Why was it so casual?
It's so weird. Some of these like really elite franchises never get it right with reunion. Like, I feel like always just like, you know, who's always consistently good is Potomac. Even when they're not speaking to each other, like one of their gay assistants is getting with the other gay assistant. And they're at least like, we're going to all wear yellow. Like, we're all going to do this thing.
It's coordinated,
but it's just like, it's so weird to me to see a reunion where everyone's going to a different event. Gina's like vagina's fully out.
Mm-hmm. For a seated reunion. That always shocks me.
And for some reason, like Shannon is dressed like she's going to her wedding rehearsal dinner.
Mm-hmm. She had a very, like, she tried to do, like, a black and white theme. I think it was like, you know, like when you get dressed for court and you're trying to wear white to, like, look pure.
She does go get dressed for court these days.
Yeah.
And then, like, Heather's wearing a brown dress.
I bet it's from Heather's collection is, like, what I just figured out.
I don't know what Emily's doing. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
It was just like, it's just, they're all dressed so, like, no ball gowns, no prom, just casual. And I'm like, did they just not even try this time? They're like, we always get it wrong, so we might as well, like, wear less expensive clothes.
And I can't even remember what, like, Tamara was wearing. I don't even remember. I don't know what Jen's wearing. Like, none of it was, it was a flop.
Yeah.
Beginning to end.
But I enjoy the reunion itself. In terms of dress. Yeah.
Yes. And Lauren and I have a little bit of a
disagreement. We have a little bit of different opinions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, there was definitely lots of, like, overthought and overprepared, like, online stuff brought to the table, which I appreciate.
Extremely online.
I appreciate the new information. So we're not just, like, rehashing the same fights. But there was maybe a little too much new information where we're like, what are we even talking about, which has been my big complaint with Tamara this season. Mm-hmm. So Tamara versus Shannon is how we open. Bravo was really trying to vindicate Tamara to us because she's gotten so much shit for being so mean to Shannon. And they even showed us a clip where it was like, or like a montage of every time Shannon was called out for her drinking problems in reunions, but still Tamara came off like a bitch.
Tamara is a bitch. She was a bitch. She is a bitch.
They couldn't help her.
I didn't love the new face.
Yeah. Well, it takes time to settle. Right. She's fresh from the blue CO2 laser, you know.
Crazy she did that so close to the reunion. But
I know. Attention. She's like, you know, she's in a battle with her public. She's Rena-ing, you know. She's Lala-ing. She's like, Rena-ing.
Not even in a, I don't even think Rena ever did this stuff.
Yeah, this is another level.
I mean, at least Rena wasn't like, I'm autistic. I've been to therapy once and I'm autistic.
And Rena didn't have a podcast is part of it. Like, I really think that Tamara, she can't do both. She can't switch gears. You know, she just learned, she's from an older generation. She just learned how to do podcasts. And then now she has to switch back. And it's like, she's just, you know, her brain's not plastic anymore.
She's autistic. Right. Just her face.
Yeah, she's masking literally with her plastic surgery. Okay, so then what else? Oh yeah, so then Shannon, still claiming she's not an alcoholic. And then
not saying that. By the way, we're not saying Shannon's not an alcoholic. Everyone who has any issues with substances, and I will say that I do think that she does. I mean, listen, if you're getting DUIs, like, something's wrong.
Yeah. It's not for anyone to say. Yeah.
Everyone goes on their own journey, and I don't want to see it, like, played out this way with, like, what Tamara's doing to her.
Right. I mean, like, you know, we don't need, like, Tamara to be like, you should never drink again.
You're drunk.
Because, like, we are seeing, you know, her at scenes with her daughters at, like, 11 in the morning, always still ordering a vodka soda. And it is, you know, a little.
It's so early just to be ordering, like, vodka. Like, that's not even in, like, a Bloody Mary where it seems, like, sort of socially acceptable. You're just like, neat vodka.
Yeah. I mean, she's still the number one guy in this group right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Gina. Oh yeah, like Tamara still tried to make.
That's
oh,
our
yeah,
new
Gina.
Segment. That's our new. Oh segment. Yeah, oh, Gina. Yeah, Gina.
Tamara was still really trying to nail her ass for supporting Shannon. I think that Tamara was really betting on Gina being on Tamara's side after like the you know all the DUI shit that Shannon put Gina through last season. I think that that was part of Tamara's big miscalculation, and she's like, well, Gina's gonna you know. Come at her with me. And then Shannon, what's better about Shannon is that she can really eat shit. She's not afraid to, like, Gina was like, well, I forgave her because she, like, sucked it up and kissed my ass, which Tamara can't do really, which is, I think, a more and more necessary skill in housewifedom.
Mm-hmm. I just want it over with.
Okay, so we got the full legal breakdown on Ryan from Emily with helpful text inserts. I appreciated this.
Did you know that she went to kind of, like, a shady kind of law school? I was reading something about it. It was
really?
Like
the,
Thomas
the part-time lawyer went to a law school in Ixtapa?
I need to do more research on it, but yeah. It doesn't all seem above board.
I mean, I don't really care that she's not a real lawyer. It's like, she's like Bravo Docket. Well, they are real lawyers, but it's like, it's nice to have that element in the show, and I wish it happened in more... Like, we talked about how we think that every show right. should have a lawyer on the cast to explain
well,
all of the shit
and
to
like,
us.
Yeah, like, she explains, like, really complex law stuff to us. Like, bookies are not legal.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. I mean, that's sincerely. I don't know. I
yeah.
mean, especially how freely Jen talks about, like, Matt's a bookie. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Ryan
and
being,
on
like,
TV. Yeah. Bookie's his best friend. And, yeah, Matt's a bookie. And Ryan was always in Vegas with him because he's a bookie.
Because he's a bookie. And Emily broke down that Ryan – okay, so Matt was a bookie for Shohei Ohtani, who's a baseball player.
He's a very famous baseball player.
Very famous baseball.
He actually plays offense and defense, and nobody else does. Like, what he pitches, which is, and he hits, and that never happens. So he's a very rare. He's a unicorn.
I need Emily to break this down to me too, because you lost me at baseball.
Pitching and hitting, they exist, Lauren.
Okay, well, so he's like a top and a bottom in terms that I could understand.
Yeah, he plays the top of the ninth and the bottom of the ninth.
Okay, so then she's like, so Matt is like his bookie, right? Or Matt's his, what, is Matt just his bookie?
His interpreter, not Shohei. Yeah, so
right.
Shohei Ohtani has done nothing wrong. Apparently, yeah. So the guy who was his interpreter is a gambling addict.
Yeah,
and so he was siphoning money from Shohei
into Ryan's account. $50 million.
Yeah, and Ryan didn't do anything, you guys. It was just in his account.
Except he was going with Matt to Vegas, to Pechanga, which I've done stand-up at Pechanga, by the way. And I've been to Resorts World. Terrible casino.
I've never been to Vegas. But if I did go, I would go and I'd be like, if you're a bookie, I know this is not legal.
Yep. You'd be
a narc
in Vegas.
Vegas.
A very
like,
popular.
Why is it so hot and wet?
So fun. It's so fun because you get to, you like, are doing stuff so you're stimulated. But then you don't have to, like, I don't like gambling. It makes me, like, too scared.
No, but it's, like, it's hot. It's
not, you're always inside.
It's, like, it's too oversized. Like, lights.
I love.
There's lights and buffets.
Oh,
like,
I love the overstimulation. It's great for ADHD, I'm telling you. All of the nicotine and oxygen pumping through your face and all of the bright lights. It's, like, it's like dopamine city.
Why is everything
city.
A buffet?
Buffets are really too expensive, prohibitively expensive to go to now. We mostly just, like, eat, you know, Starbucks
or
whatever.
Well, you just eat, like, random people's leftovers.
Yeah, that's a great way to save money on the cheap, going to Circus and eating all of the leftover room service from people's hotel rooms. Follow me for more trash people guides to.
Yeah, it's like you and Stephen Baldwin go to Vegas, and that's how you guys hang out.
Yeah. And he teaches me about born again Christianity. So then, so then Ryan and Matt would go to Vegas, and then they would, like, the $50 million from Ryan's account, they would take part of it out. They would put it into chips. They'd gamble a little, and then they'd cash out. And that's how they, like, laundered the money clean. Yeah.
You know what Matt was talking about on last episode on camera, where he was saying, he's my money launderer.
Yeah. It's so crazy. They did that all. Like, they were mic'd up. Like, it's
you know
wild.
What? And poor Jen. Like, she's been so, like, removed from so much of
And the thing that I love about Jen is, like, people are comparing her to Erica and they're like, why aren't they being hard enough on Jen? Erica was nailed to the cross. Erica knew what was going on. She has the capacity to. Jen really doesn't understand.
Even when people are like, this is totally illegal, this is what was happening. Like, and
she's like, but that's not what he said. Like, she really
said, and like, she's like, how could he do that when he's also at the same time, like, airdropping a picture of his penis to an entire plane, airplane.
So many hours in the day.
He's like such a good guy, you know.
It's somebody she can talk to. Yeah, it's like the way that they explain to her, like, you know, she's like, they're like, well, he's cooperating. He threw Matt under the bus. Matt is going to be in prison for 18 years.
Right. He's and like she's a like, witness. So he's she's like, he's, which means like he has full immunity. And they say that.
But she keeps claiming, no, it's because they found him innocent because he just gave them the accounts and the accounts proved him innocent. And they're trying to explain to her, no, honey, like what he did was illegal.
And the reason he has immunity is because he's working with the feds and giving them very good, like, stuff to
information.
Information to, like, convict your best friend, Matt, who is a bookie, and you launder his money as...
But she's not getting it, dude. Yeah, she's like, really? She's not. And I love that.
Yeah,
now
Jen's like, no, but, like, he's not been charged with anything. And then Andy's like, well, he's not because, well, he has full immunity.
He's cooperating.
Cooperating. And you don't usually give somebody who is innocent immunity.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what immunity is.
And still she's just like
to prosecute you
bright eyed lip gloss going like I don't understand what you're saying.
I think we're gonna get married in June.
I love it. I live.
The kids will be there.
Yeah, this kind of like wide eyed naivete, it's like it's beyond but Lynn.
She can cut a bitch like Tamara, so yeah, good stuff.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then that's what I do like is she did learn her lesson on Tamara, but has not learned her lesson, is incapable of learning any other lessons.
Well, and she also comes for Emily.
Emily. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was just saying, so the reunion starts. It's boring. No, it's not boring. I don't like the way I don't need to see people getting ready and be like,
I hate that.
I'm going to be mean to somebody today. It's like, let's start it. I don't even need to see Andy saying hi to everybody.
No.
I just need someone to pull out a binder. I've been missing a binder since Monique left Potomac.
Well, I think it's because Monica's binder was so disastrous that people are scared now. Oh, and
right, it was a bad
the
binder.
Last Dallas reunion, Cameron's binder was pretty terrible.
I just want Monique's binder.
Yeah, let's just bring that back. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's hard to escalate. I miss, like, Kenya's props, even though they clearly had a disastrous...
Those were banned because of abuse.
Yeah.
And an assault happened.
But, I don't know, get creative. This is your time for performance art, you know?
I don't need to see you printing off pages of, like, texts. Like, I need to see binders.
Like,
I need to see
made some drama.
Receipts.
Yeah, which they gave us. The editors gave us. I miss, like, kind of moments like Teresa challenging Melissa to a sing-off. You know, like, I want some kind of alt comedy
moments. That's great.
Yeah.
I need something like that. I need, like, speaking of Jersey, like, Caroline Manzo when she tells Teresa, like, you're dressed like a Christmas tree pageant.
Yeah, like...
She's wearing a green...
Like a reed with a malapropism. Like, you know, that's... Right. You know, my bread and butter. But I enjoyed this reunion.
I really liked it. So let's talk about, let's talk about your favorite part of the reunion, which is my least favorite part.
It wasn't my favorite part, but I think it's going to work out best for everyone.
We learned some things about Katie against her will.
Yes. And I think part of it was Emily was on such a roll breaking down the Matt lawsuit stuff that she kind of just kept on going and kind of went overboard a little.
Right. So I guess this is supposed to be like the bring down of Katie and just really kind of assassinate her character. She doesn't, you know, all she does is lie. So I feel like Emily is doing Heather's dirty work here because again, Heather's still doing the thing where like she's pretty much keeping her hands clean. Also, did you think it was interesting that Heather and Emily were sitting right next to each other and Emily
was
across
weird.
The street?
When they've been kind of like lightly beefing all season, where it's like Gina, where Emily's like, Gina, why are you better friends with Heather than me? I feel like I'm losing you to Heather.
The body shaming from Heather. So I found that to be pretty interesting seating. Obviously, it made sense. Shannon, like next to Andy, and then Tamara.
Tamara. Yeah.
But it was weird. Just, okay, like Gina's on the other couch and Emily's over here next to Heather. I thought they would be across from each other.
Yeah.
But it is clear here that Emily's kids probably did say that Heather was a piece of shit, because why else would Heather really have the motive to sort of go after Katie?
I think Katie's daughter definitely did, from social media clips I've seen of Katie's daughter talking about the other housewives.
I feel like Katie's daughter is a little thirsty for screen time.
Oh, she is 100%. Yeah.
Those Gen Z kids, they love their screen time.
But again, overall, this is like this reunion, even though I think they were trying to put a nail in her coffin, it's part of the case to keep her. There's mess that
Speaking
she hasn't
of the
showed
case,
us.
Do you want to talk about like the case that had nothing to do with the season? It's from 10 years ago, but is back from the dead because Emily has access to all of those like sealed documents by that Radar Online in Touch magazine.
But so does like you can pay a dollar to get someone's court record.
So she, what was the story? So
that's not lawyering. That's just being a snoot. Or I'm a lawyer.
In the reunion, I guess, like Heather tells, you know, Katie, well, you know, lying about people is kind of your thing.
Yeah. And then a huge leap to, after all, 10 years ago, didn't you get into a road rage incident where you beat a man up and then you had to pay out $100,000 in civil court?
What really happened is like, you know, you lied about a man and he had to go to prison. And Katie's like, he was released the same day. She tells the story very differently. I guess she said the guy was following her home and recording her friends. I mean, her kids, and she was really scared and called the police. And then I guess that was not what was in the police report.
I mean, she's definitely lying, but
I guess the guy got mad at her because he saw her texting while driving
and he was triggered. Yeah.
She never denied that. So she probably was texting.
Because I think he had like a family or someone who died because of a distracted
driver. So he went to prison, but Katie said he was released the same day and the police report was inaccurate, which really he made Emily upset. Like, you know, why would a police record like account of the details be fabricated?
Of course she loves the police. I don't like her politics. That's what a lot of people are saying. They're like, Heather's racist or whatever. I do think it's more like she's hanging out with Tamara too much and she's like pulling out this deep dirt
shit.
They're all
trying to
like
be Megan King Edmonds, and there was only ever one Megan King Edmonds,
and
it was
needs
actually
to come
very
back.
Relevant. She
now
needs,
that she's
she
crazy.
She lives in St. Louis. She can't. But anyway, so then it's like, okay, now we've moved on to the next thing. Katie's a liar and the police report was accurate according to Emily.
Yeah. And then also Emily really like does not read the room and then really doubles down into some dark territory that like, really, if your ex-husband was so bad, then why did you lose custody of your kids? It's like,
why were you losing custody of the kids? And like, why did like they show up to your husband's address if you were separated? And she was like, I was living in a facility with my kids. She was in some sort of a shelter, which nothing wrong with that. But
yeah.
Why are we talking about it at a reunion? It's awful.
Yeah.
I did not like that.
The custody stuff
is. The kids and the living in the facility. And then, it was clear that Emily and Heather were not aware of that fact. And they were
I think they really just thought that she, I just don't, this is just such a misguided move because like clearly like Heather wants to get rid of her, but it's like all of a sudden this really boring girl, like for her all of a sudden to have like this insane backstory where she like beat a guy up. It's like now I want her back. Like now the drama lovers want her back and the moral outrage people like want her back because they think you were mean to her. So it just spectacularly backfired.
But it was like also, I think, confusing the other women who didn't even know about this story. Like Shannon was
like what the fuck is going on?
Why are we talking about? Because Shannon's like, we're supposed to talk about how Tamara keeps calling me an alcoholic. Why are we talking about?
Why does she even get time? Like if you had ignored her, you would have shut her out of the show.
She's furthest away from Andy. We're not supposed to talk about her.
Exactly. And that's my problem. That's, I think, really the Heather thing that shone through was that she instead of like going against Tamara, when she's the one person who can really stand up to Tamara, she chose to ally with Tamara and go after weaker targets. And I hope she does not make the same mistake next season because I think she knows she had the worst season she's ever had. So I'm optimistic she'll flip.
We love an optimistic Lauren Davis.
I'm being optimistic. in general.
So, but also for our listeners and viewer.
No, we get up to like 60 to 100 views on these.
Hey, Lauren really liked that stuff.
I didn't like the, I told you, I didn't like the Cassidy stuff, but I liked hearing about the road rage thing because now I'm invested in Katie.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what she's done with a golf club at this point.
Well, I mean, yeah, we saw a little of the rage when she had to play golf at the golf event that she arranged. She's like, she sucks
right.
at it.
Yeah.
More of that. More of that. More.
Stay tuned, folks. Also, Katie doesn't really live in the OC. I think that was the other thing Emily said.
So I mean, neither does Heather. Heather lives in Beverly Hills. She got a house in the OC so she could go back in the
exactly.
show.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so after Katie and Heather and Emily try to figure out if Katie had road rage and whatever, we need to get to the Shannon and Tamara. Although I feel like it'll be part three or part two that we really get
yeah,
into.
Yeah, we talked
these
about
two.
It.
But they're like the number one and number two girl in the group at this reunion.
We talked about it. You were just dissociating.
I wanted to talk about how angry Shannon really is. Like, she's still not willing to forgive.
No.
Forget
yeah.
Everything that Shannon has said and done. Not, God, I'm losing my mind what Tamara has said and done. And Tamara is still very, I think she starts trying to apologize and it's
but
like,
not
no,
really.
Not gonna, but
yeah.
And Shannon's like, it's not going to happen. We're never going to be friends. Like, I don't want that from you. You've destroyed my life. And by that, I mean, you destroyed London for me.
Yeah.
But she'll never go back to merry old England.
She only has like 30 other European countries
these,
she can go to
gals,
now.
Yeah, when these girls go to Europe, it's never good.
It is cursed for them to go to the UK, isn't it? Next
yeah,
year, Scotland. Scotland for the girls next
even
year.
Even when they went to Iceland, though, like Vicky's getting wheelchair down with a blanket on her head. So never
oh, yeah.
good for these girls.
But that's because she took Kelly Dodd's drugs.
I think she said later was like an Adderall.
An Adderall and a Xanax.
I heard an Adderall and a Xanax. They call that the soccer mom speedball.
Speedball, yep. Yeah, and then so we've got some, I can't wait for Alexis to come back. I think Emily's going to really redeem herself dunking on her.
Well, because Jen says the thing about Emily when Emily won't shut up about trying to explain why Brian's a criminal. She's like, why do you care so much about my income or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
When Shane's family supports your life.
That was good.
Mic
that was
drop.
Good. And that's like a good example of
I
how
hear
to
more about that. But
bring
I
up something off camera, but be relevant instead of trying to cram all this information. You know, it's good.
Well, I went on Reddit. Apparently, like Emily has talked about this on the show before that like
they're
Shane
really
has
rich.
A lot of family yeah. money. Cause yeah. like he wasn't an attorney. Like he didn't pass his bar
right.
exam until very recently. He
yeah,
was not a practicing lawyer.
We saw him continue
lawyer.
To flop on the show for like the first three seasons. And then he barely passed
Crazy.
Because they lowered the passing grade the year that he got in.
I mean, I did read that the California bar exam is like the most difficult in the country. They have so many unique laws in California, but
yeah, if you're a little dork.
Oh God, what else happened? Andy is there. Andy.
Yeah.
Emily. Oh, Emily. She's not bringing anything but her vagina to the party. You know what? I don't like the hair. I don't need to see that your hair looks wet even when it's not.
I don't like the wet look unless you have short hair.
I'm trying to think what I did like about this reunion. I thought it was entertaining.
It was good.
It was good.
It was good.
I'm ready for part two. I want some real.
I think part two is going to up the ante even more.
They always, that's when, you know, we get a multi-part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there going to be, is it just part two or are we going to have three?
I think it's a three-part reunion. It sounds like, I mean, just from what I heard about Shannon, I think she did say like she didn't forget Tamara. They haven't made up. And then, but Jen also did say that she would invite every one of the women to her wedding, but they would have to promise if they come that they would, you know, support the union 100%.
And not stand up and say, I object. I mean, like, that's like,
why are we
minimum.
Getting married? You know, it's like, why are they getting married in a place where they have very relaxed banking laws?
Yep. Interesting. But I mean, honestly, she's like, I bet she was like, that's
so
a great
good.
Idea. It's beautiful there.
Yeah, she's like so like.
Joe Judice can come, you know.
She really is like, you know, she's like, you know, just excited to plan a wedding with a guy she can talk to.
She's such a great find.
She's so good.
Yeah.
I want to protect her because
I know
no one else is.
But also, I think she and Ryan are going to make it.
They're gonna make it. I mean, if
like,
you can
honestly,
make it
couples goals, like
honestly, like I would be, yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, don't you want to be in a marriage where you have no idea what's going on except the good stuff?
The dream. It's like the conservatorship of marriages.
And, like, live in this amazing house. Like,
no culpability, no responsibility.
You don't have to pay anything. Your name's not on anything. You don't own anything.
You still don't know how to pay a water bill. Like,
you still don't have a credit card in your name.
You basically don't exist.
But you do because you have you're an amazing person.
Mm-hmm, and you're on TV. All right. Well, that's the end of our episode.
What are your predictions for the next episode? The next part two of the reunion?
Yeah. Other than, like, I think Emily really redeeming herself, dunking on Alexis. I think the tides are going to change on her.
Okay. Yes, we have seen the preview so many times of Emily telling Alexis she's the dumbest person she's ever seen.
And that was the best moment of the season for Emily.
Emily loses Shane. Yeah. Emily loses Shane. So she's seen some really dumb
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah.
So if Alexis is the dumbest person she's ever been around, like, that's really saying something.
I think she's really, from what we've seen, going to drag her for, like, always carrying out a man's agenda on camera, which is true of Alexis, and which I hope that Alexis wakes up and realizes
I don't.
I'm enough. No, I want her to be on the show, but I want
John
her to
Jensen.
I want her to carry on her own crazy agenda. Like, I mean, go back to acting class, you know, the usual Alexis.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I want her to show her boobs off a little bit more like she used to.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, do you feel like she's wearing, like, more blazers than she ever did before, like Shannon?
I think she's trying to not have people call her Jesus Jugs,
even though that's, like, the first thing Andy apparently says to her, like, the return of Jesus Jugs. She tried suing Tamara for that, you know? For that name.
That's so...
Her attorney sent, like, a cease and desist. And, you know, Tamara just called her Jesus Jugs, like, I think, like, just the one time on the reunion. And that's, like, the only thing anybody's ever called her since.
Yeah.
Or the dumbest bitch I've ever seen.
Yeah. Have we talked... I don't think we talked about on air Jimmy B, Jimbalino, and Elizabeth Vargas's beautiful union.
And he thought it was, like, they're not together. He really thought he was going on a date with... I guess she DM'd him. And he really thought it was Elizabeth Vargas from 2020, even though the profile picture didn't align. So he agreed to go out with her. And he was expecting, like, this, you know, prestigious woman who was, like, of the former anchor on 2020 newswoman. And it's like a QAnon Elizabeth Vargas. So they only went on, like, one date, and he didn't even realize who he was going on a date with. So,
okay. Well, first of all, that is so funny. That's literally a B plot in season 4 of Veep when Dan sleeps with Amy's sister to get on because she works at CBS, but really she works at CVS. I can't believe that's real life. And then, second of all, I hate that he scorned my queen. My mentally ill, closeted lesbian, compulsive liar queen. He would be lucky to be with Elizabeth Vargas. And she needs to be back on the show because we don't have enough absolutely deranged pathological liars on Housewives. I don't think she's really a danger to anyone with her philosophy because no one takes her seriously and she has no power. Get her on the show.
That's the type of woman we like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just like
she
like variety.
She's got the power.
I want to see all types represented.
God, you know what? The OC, great season, great reunion. Can't wait for part two. Really going to miss these gals.
Me
when
too.
They go away, even though they're all over my feed.
But you know what? We'll have solace as we can go back to recapping the second half of the show, you know? I mean, we've got season 10 coming. We haven't done we can't quit before season 10.
We haven't even talked about season 9, which is, like, the first season.
Also
which,
really good. Yeah, with Shannon, with our queen.
A storm's a brewing.
Yep.
A Shannon storm's
a Shannon storm's Spador. It's so fun. I also, sorry, I've got to say.
And you'll all see the truth.
You'll all see the truth. I do love that, like, they're all trying to really work so hard for a pun on her name and they all suck. Like, there she goes. Shannon Storm's Bador is always storming for Bador. Tamara, I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my God. Save me now.
All right. Follow us on Instagram.
Do you want to do oral exam?
Oh yeah, let's do oral exam. At @Bravo_breakdowns on TikTok and Instagram. Like and subscribe on YouTube. And if you're watching it on there, we'll show our boobs as always at the end.
And we will be putting a poll out this week about everyone's favorite Baldwin. We're going to be ranking them. So we'll talk about the results on the next episode.
Yeah.
I know everyone's dying to cast your ballots for what really matters here, folks.
The most important election of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
But let's allow ranked voting on this one. I think that would be a positive step. I don't know if they've got the feature for it, but we'll figure it out on Instagram polls. Okay, so we always end every episode with an oral exam. It's a 1-minute verbal essay on a pop culture topic of your voice, of your choice.
We are crazy. Literally, Lauren and I are not well, bitch.
Mm-mm.
So we're doing this for the people.
It's for you, students. Our students still need to learn.
This will be heard and we won't be silent. Mm-mm. or silenced.
This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
Listen, I'm getting way too deep with the Brianna chicken fry, Zach Bryan, Dave Portnoy of it all. I've been trying to explain it to Lauren. She still doesn't know who any of these people are. And I have to tell her, like, Dave Portnoy is like the owner of Barstool Sports. And, okay, so Zach Bryan is a piece of shit country singer that was dating Brianna chicken fry, a piece of shit podcaster. Brianna has a show on Barstool called Plan Bree with her best friend Grace. They kind of had a falling out. It was very awkward the last year being on this like show together. Brianna did and said some pretty heinous things, and her and Grace are not really close anymore. And they've stopped doing the podcast, and we find out it was all because of the Zach Bryan guy that she was with, Brianna Chicken Fry was with. And also, I guess, so he cheated on her. He abused her. She's talking about it all publicly now. The big thing, she refused to sign a $12 million NDA. So she's talking about everything with their relationship, and it's really, really dark stuff. I'm not going to talk about it. So Dave Portnoy has written and been in 2 diss track music videos about this guy, about the Zach Bryan guy. And Dave Portnoy has been talking about his text messages between Dave Portnoy and like Zach Bryan's attorney, who's very mad. I'm in a really deep rabbit hole on all of this stuff, and it's really crazy to me. And Grace O'Malley hasn't spoken up publicly about it. She was like Brianna's best friend. So I want to see, I can't stop knowing about this stuff until she says something.
Okay. I let you go long because I felt like you needed it. Okay. So now understanding it a little more. No, what's crazy to me is like, so this is the second Barstool Sports 2-girl podcast that was ruined because
Two Girls, One Pod.
Is that what it was called?
No, it's called Plan Bree.
But that
the other one, Call Her Daddy.
The other one's Call Her Daddy. And the fact that they were both ruined by one of the like girls being under the coercive control of
Dave Portnoy.
Celebrity. Well, yeah, him too. That it was like a power struggle between Dave Portnoy and one of their boyfriends who told them not. And then it also involved like not signing a incredibly like $1 million deal. It's like, why does this keep happening? This is like history repeating itself all over again. And just like the first time, I don't fully understand it. But something's not right.
And something isn't right. We're not well, bitch.
We're not well, bitch. Okay. It's time for my oral exam.
Wait, I thought that was your oral exam.
No, I was asking. Okay. All right. This is Lauren's oral exam. My time starts now. Okay. In this essay, I will prove. So gearing up for Traitors season 3, I revisited season 2. If you guys watch spoilers, you'll recall that Dan from Big Brother was the worst reality TV contestant traitor of all time. Worst of anyone with reality TV experience. They had to keep telling him that he was being a bad traitor, even people without any strategic reality TV experience, and that no one believed him and trusted him, and he had no social game. But fans of Big Brother always said, but he's the best who ever played Big Brother. You should see Dan's funeral. He's incredible. It's just that Traitors is a longer game and he had a hard time adapting. Well, I watched Dan's seasons of Big Brother, and guess what? A, they're super rigged for Dan. B, he was playing like in reality, back when like his first season was like back when reality TV, like they were just eliminating people for being the most annoying. It was like Bad Girls Club in that house. Like, of course he won because he's like a very introverted Catholic guy. He met his first lesbian on this show. There's a sexism thing happening with Big Brother fans that biases them towards their faves. Vanessa's the best Big Brother player of all time. And now he said it.
Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdowns.